May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Teachers, even retired ones like me, like to review what they have had go before them. And it's an acquired habit, I'm sorry to say, but it's one that I have, and I'm going to ask you to do a little review this morning. You may remember some time ago that we had quite a discussion on prayers and praying, that type of thing, and I gave you an acronym, A-C-T-S. Oh, I see a few heads nodding. That's nice. Some others are not quite as sure, but that's fine. We can go through it again, because I'm going to do just a little review this morning of the acronym. A stands for adoration. Adoration of our Lord, adoration of our God, adoration of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. C is for confession. We confess that we have sinned against God and have not done as He would like us to do. And that being said, we make our confession to God that that is the case. The T stands for thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for all the many, many, many benefits, I'll get it out yet, benefits that we have received at His hands, all of the wonderful things of this life. And then comes the S, and sometimes we put the S first because it's supplication, asking God for things. And I warned you against having a laundry list of things just to take to the Father, saying, I'd like this, 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 and this, and so on. We just are not to do that either. But the S should come, I suggest, after the A-C-T part. So the supplications are there. Now this morning I'm going to ask you to do something just a little different. I'm going to ask you to be absolutely still, quiet, for just a moment. Isn't that nice? Even with all the sounds coming in from outside, it's a little oasis of tranquility that we have here in church on Sunday mornings. Silence is a beautiful thing in itself in today's often noisy world. And to hear sounds and then to be able to shut those sounds out is becoming more and more difficult, I would suggest, in our busy world. So we appreciate them all the more. The Bible has a surprising number of references to silence. One of the very early ones that I'm aware of is found in 1 Kings. And chapter 19 of 1 Kings, this is when Elijah was trying to get away from God. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Sometimes translated in some of our translation Bibles as a low whisper. Sheer silence. Well, we know that that Jesus often went away into what he called, or what the gospel writers called, a solitary place in order to pray, to have silence, in order to pray. The Annie Carrier wrote some years ago a reflection on this particular aspect of Jesus' ministry, and he said this, "There is a reason, surely, why Jesus and all the prophets sought out the wilderness in their quest for inspiration and to nurture their special insight. They were seeking holy silence, the consuming presence of an empty, quiet space, which is the surest conduit to God and the things of God that nature allows." The author goes on to say a little bit more along this line. To seek silence is to seek God. To love silence, to learn the beauty of stillness, and that is to invite God to touch us and our lives. In silence, in this private, internal wilderness that we create, God finds us as he once found the prophets and speaks to us in ways that enlighten, inspire, and sometimes confound. The Bible speaks of silence in a number of ways, a number of positive ways, such as we just found out, but it also speaks about the silence of God, which is not to our liking. You may recall some of the Psalms. Psalm 35, "Don't be silent, Lord. Don't keep yourself far away." And in Psalm 81, "O God, do not keep silent. Do not be still. Do not be quiet." So while silence may be golden, as the saying goes, there may come a time in our Christian walk through life when the silence of God may trouble us greatly, may trouble us a great deal. That is when we pray to God for some specific thing, a recovery from illness, perhaps, or a difficult employment situation or a bereavement, and we don't hear back from God. We've used our best efforts to take our concerns to him, used our nicest language, told him how serious we are about what we're doing and why we're praying to him, but we don't seem to have heard back. The silence of God seems to be just that, silence. Wouldn't it be nice if we could pick up the phone, or in this day and age, pick up your iPod and call God and say, "What's the problem? I haven't heard from you." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just great. You may have heard the story of the tourist who made a tour around Europe and all the cathedrals. And he went to every cathedral he could possibly find. And in each one, there was a little marble stand with a golden telephone on it and a sign that says, "Direct line to heaven." And then there would be a little bit added, "Please deposit so much money in order to make the call." When he got to Ireland, he went into a cathedral there in Ireland, and he found, again, on the stand, a golden telephone and a sign, "Direct line to heaven." But no mention was made of money being paid at all. The tourist asked a passing priest why this was. He said, "I've been to all kinds of cathedrals, and they all ask for money to call heaven, but you don't." "Ah," said the priest with a wink, "this is a local call here. You don't have to bother with long distance." So, that's marvelous. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We just pick up the phone and say, "God, why haven't you answered my prayer? Why have you been quiet with regard to that? Why has he apparently kept silence when we've earnestly asked for an answer?" Karen Barber, who was writing in the Christian magazine Guidepost some years ago, made some rather interesting suggestions. She said maybe we're looking for God's answers in the wrong places. Or, put another way, maybe we aren't looking in the right places for God's answers. Now, there's a thought I thought was worth looking at. Maybe we're not looking for God's answers to our prayers in places where we should be looking for those answers. Karen Barber suggests several places that she thinks we should look for God's answers when we have prayed earnestly to him. And the first one is to look for a direct answer when God does speak through a person's mind, through the Holy Spirit, or through someone else to you. This she calls, "Sometimes you hear it." And she certainly is very much aware of the fact that God does use this method sometimes, but not a great many times. One of my clergy friends told me one time that he had a direct message from God. The words were very brief, almost just one-syllable words, "Be my servant." And he was and continues to be until this day. And that was what Karen Barber would call a direct answer, a really very much direct. She also said, look for a less direct, but perhaps an even more powerful way when sometimes you feel it. You sense the presence of a higher power that is revealed to you, maybe in a particular Bible verse that you're reading or have read, or the comforting words that you hear in a hymn in church. Karen Barber recounted one such instance of her own involving herself. A rash of break-ins in her area had her worrying about her personal safety in the neighborhood until someone happened to give her a blanket that had an image of an angel guarding a house on it. Well, that certainly was more than a coincidence for my money, and she felt it was more than a coincidence. She knew she was being looked after, even in an unspoken prayer that she might have had to God for her safety. There are also the times when there are the big yeses, as Karen Barber calls them, the big yeses, the miraculous healing, or the work situation that is suddenly cleared, or something has happened that is very much for the better, happy resolution of some problem, matter, or other. Such miraculous answers aren't very hard to miss, and that's a good thing, of course. However, as we know, they must suit God's plans for us, which may not be our plans for ourselves. Karen Barber's advice with regard to finding God's answers to our prayers can be, I think, summarized in the words she uses. God is at work in all circumstances. Sometimes you have to search for his answer, other times it jumps right out at you. She goes on to say this, try it. Pray about something, then be on the lookout. I'll bet you see plenty of answers that God is with you. And even when the circumstances might not have improved just yet, your attitude will. And that being the case, you are in line for God's answers for sure. The Old Testament especially has a number of times when God did certainly break silence. And to use Karen's word, gave big yeses to the people concerned. One of my favorite stories is when King Hezekiah, not Elijah, poor Elijah, he gets blamed for everything. King Hezekiah was sick to the point of death. And Isaiah was sent to King Hezekiah to tell him that, yes, you're going to die. You're going to not be with us very much longer. And Hezekiah took this news very badly. As the Bible said, he turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly. However, recorded in Kings, 2 Kings chapter 20, we find these words. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, in other words, before he had even left the palace, the word of the Lord came to him. Turn back. And say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. King Solomon certainly was in no doubt that God will answer prayer either. We find in the Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, after Solomon had finished building the temple in Jerusalem, he dedicated the temple to the Lord and, in essence, said, we hope that this will be your dwelling. In an appearance that night, or at least in a sounding and hearing appearance, the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen the place for myself as a house of sacrifice. The writer of Proverbs also, of course, is very strong on the fact of answering prayer by God. The Lord, says the author of Proverbs, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. And that is certainly the case. I would venture to say that all of us here this morning have had some answers to some prayers at some times. Sometimes, perhaps, the silence of God has weighed heavily on you. Should you be experiencing the silence of God in any of your praying, the advice that Karen Barber gives us comes back, and I leave you with it. Be on the lookout in less likely places for God's answers to your prayers. On a broader scale, that includes praying to God, is a further piece of advice that comes directly from the Bible in Proverbs again. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I take that to mean that if we're willing to bring God into every aspect of our lives, He in turn will direct us when we ask Him in prayer. And that's even better, I suggest, than having a golden telephone on a marble stand, direct line to heaven. One final thought. Don't be surprised when God does answer your prayer. Don't be surprised. After all, you have given Him a request. He will give an answer, most certainly. Expect an answer, and you will certainly receive it, and in doing so, thank God for you. God loves us greatly. He will show His love by answering our prayers. Just be on the lookout for those answers. Let us pray. Blessed Trinity, You are our Father, our Redeemer, our friend and comforter. We worship You in all things, including in our prayers to You. Teach us, we ask, to pray for such things as are pleasing to You, and to seek out Your responses to our supplications in sometimes unusual places. We ask these things to Your honor, Your glory, and in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.